flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Do you have any time table expectation on Juan?
It's, you know, when you're going through these things, he's just got a lot of information to meld through. We've had meetings with a number of franchises. He's begun the process of eliminating teams and doing things, and so he's, Juan is a very methodical thinker, so we'll see, but I don't think anything's imminent in the future.
Scott Boras, yesterday, I believe at Blake Snell's introductory press conference, I think is where that was.
Yeah, how about Blake Snell going from the last guy signed a year ago to the first guy signed this year?
Well,
he was shooketh.
I was talking to Twitch Mitch earlier today.
Brag.
It's hour two of Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It was brag. He brought up an interesting point. He's like, so the Red Sox want Blake Snell.
They did.
They're not going to get him, obviously.
Oh,
he signed with the Dodgers.
Oh.
But they wanted Blake Snell this year.
Yeah.
But last year he was just out there into spring training, beyond spring training. Right. Anybody could have had him. They wanted nothing to do with him. Now he was one of their big targets.
Or did they really want him?
How does that align? Well,
the good news would be this. I guess if you want to spin it positive, it'd be like they weren't spending money last year, they are this year.
Fine. And that is fair. And that's exactly what I think
it is. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that's how you'd spin it.
I didn't want Blake Snell anyway. I'm not crying over losing out on Blake Snell. He seemed to want him more than I did.
But you could call your fantasy team Snell the Glove. A little Spinal Tap reference.
Nice.
Snell the Glove.
Nice.
Anyway.
Gale the Snell.
No.
Always Sunny reference.
I understand the reference.
Work.
No, no, no. I understand.
Like
no.
She's just mashing it. If you wanted to go with that.
What a good character. Yeah. No, I'm not, I don't want to do that.
That's Chloe from 24, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. So
good working actress.
Yeah, she is.
They throw salt at her in that, too.
Just get away.
I don't remember that episode.
I don't quite remember how that overlapped.
No.
But yeah, but a year ago they could have had
him.
Now they don't want him.
Yeah.
Same thing with Teoscar Hernandez. Like all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're going to get Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah.
You could have had him last year. So it makes me angrier about last year, but whatever. Maybe that's an indication they're going to spend. The point there from Scott Boras is he's now telling teams they're out. He is now narrowing down the finalists. What are you smiling about over there?
You're
expecting the Red Sox to get a call? Is that
the Red Sox are going to get a call, and then they're going to say, like, oh, we were so close. At least he called us. Like, we know him.
You're the one who went from 0% to 1%.
I did go to 1%.
So you're believing a little bit.
After sleeping on it, I think I may have made a mistake. It might be back down to zero.
In a moment of weakness.
They're not, yeah, I got talked into it. You guys, there were a lot of good vibes in here. I was excited. Maybe it's the Christmas tree. It smells great. I don't know. 1% might be high.
He's 0.
You're back.
Zero.
Yeah, he's not coming to the Red Sox.
Fair point.
I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings this holiday season,
yeah,
but
seriously,
he's not coming here.
What a downer. Fair point by Dubs985 in the Twitch chat. Dodgers didn't want Snell either.
and then they did.
What, last year?
Yeah, fair.
But they also got Yamamoto and Glasnow last year.
That's what I was going to say. The Dodgers get a little more benefit of the doubt since they, you know, spend and get players.
And Ohtani. I forgot about Ohtani. Yeah, they got Ohtani, Yamamoto,
and Glasnow. They spent $700 million on Ohtani.
I'll give
them
out there. Snell. They were fine. They won the whole thing.
The point is, they could have had him last year, and now all of a sudden they won him.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
are you still at 25%?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Keith, other teams are dropping out. I might have gone up since yesterday. You're
so,
going down.
So the report is Soto.
I've been going up the whole time on this Soto.
Not
news.
Me. Yeah. I feel like the.
I'll get you Dale's number.
This whole time, though. So they're announcing or they're telling teams that you're out.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard any of those teams yet. Right, that hasn't come out.
No. He said they're going to start to eliminate.
They're going to start calling him. Mm-hmm. All right.
The only thing I've seen is the Phillies didn't offer him a contract.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what Boris said yesterday, saying that teams will start to be eliminated. They're going to start reaching out to teams. Here's what Ken Rosenthal wrote.
Okay.
At the Athletic, I think Drellick got a hat tip on this story as well. I think
way
it was part
go.
Of the reporting.
All right.
The clubs publicly known to be most serious about Juan Soto are the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the L.A. Dodgers. So those are the five with the most known interest.
The big five.
John Heyman choking on a pancake off the Jersey Turnpike.
Nice brunch.
Talking about that yesterday. Yep. The two people briefed on the negotiations said that all the remaining contenders have also made offers above $600 million.
A big chunk of change.
So you don't think the Red Sox have any chance at landing him? We've had two or three different people now.
Yeah.
Hector Gomez, Ken Rosenthal, Randy Miller, NJ.com have said the Red Sox have offered $600+ million. You don't think they're going to get him?
Well, they
have no chance.
If they're all offering $600 million, I don't think the Red Sox are getting a tiebreaker. I think they're going to have to go and beyond.
Well, that I totally agree with that. But
so if they're getting multiple 600 offers, like.
But if they're offering $600 million, you don't think there's a chance they're going to go above and beyond and out offer everybody else?
So do you believe that they offered $300 million to Yamamoto last year?
No.
Yeah. So do you? But do you believe this?
Yes.
But wasn't it reported last year that they offered $300 million to Yamamoto?
Who had that report? This is three different reporters in the last week who are saying they've done it.
Yeah. I think they have to kind of blow them out of the water, though. Like, if you go back to, like, the...
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I mean, the only team that they can win a tiebreaker with is the Blue Jays. We established that yesterday.
Yeah.
You have to outspend the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you see Mark Feinsand? I'll tell you what Mark Feinsand said.
Well, yeah, go for it.
So MLB.com's Mark Feinsand... says that I have yet to speak to one person in the industry, executives, agents, etc., who believes Soto will wind up with any team other than the Yankees or Mets.
Yeah, the New York team. So Rosenthal has a similar report. He says the Mets are widely regarded as the favorite for Soto, with many in the industry believing team's owner Steve Cohen will top any rival bid. This is what I said this yesterday. I still feel this way. I'm not telling you the Red Sox are getting him.
No, they're not.
But I give it a lot greater chance than you do, and I think the Mets are the team that I would be most fearful of. I'm not afraid of the Yankees do not spend. I'm not afraid of the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Yankees desperately want to keep Soto, he adds, as a compliment to Aaron Judge, and the Red Sox have emerged as a quote-unquote, Keith, surprising force in negotiations. So make of that what you will.
He
also adds the Dodgers and Blue Jays are considered longer shots in the race.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think if the Dodgers really want them, they'll get them. The Blue Jays definitely, to me, are a long shot. The Blue Jays seem like a team that also aren't really going to close. They're not really going to get anybody.
Okay, so Rosenthal says the Mets are the favorites. He has the Yankees and Red Sox on a similar tier, saying the Yankees want them and the Red Sox are a surprising force.
It feels similar to me, though, with other guys. Now, the money is significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like, we just missed on Blake Snell. We just missed on Seth Lugo. We just missed on Teoscar Hernandez. We just missed on Jose Abreu. We had similar offers to all those guys. We were in it. We're the interest kings. Or what was the other new one this year?
Oh.
There was like aggressive player. No, it was some fun little nickname for them.
What was it?
But until they sign somebody of real significance, like, I'm just not going to believe it.
So I think that's, if they get out of the offseason and sign nobody, I think that's more fair. If they reportedly have offered $600+ million, and then they end up with Corbin Burns, I'm gonna believe that more.
Happy with that.
If they end up with Chapman and Teoscar Hernandez and Walker Buehler, and it's a bunch of, you know, quote unquote scraps compared to what we were talking about. Those are decent players, good players even, but scraps.
Yep.
If they wind up with that, I'll be less inclined to believe they were really in on Soto. If they pivot from Soto to Max Fried, or they pivot from Soto to like Bregman, I'm gonna look at it and say no, they were. Willing to spend this offseason. Multiple writers, people who cover the sport, well-respected guys like Ken Rosenthal said they've offered $600+ million. I think they're in. I think they're really in on Juan Soto.
No, that shows a real sign of change if they're offering this kind of money because, you know, a lot of times, and the same thing in football, you know, what they reportedly offered Brandon Ayuk or Calvin Ridley with the Patriots, it's like, well, what if the guy says, all right, I'll take it? It's like, whoa. Like now we have to pay a receiver $20+ million a year. Like,
so you think it's a fake $600 million offer?
Kinda.
You do?
Yeah.
I thought we talked about this earlier this week or late last week. You said no. That's a real offer.
Well, no. If like $600 million is a ton of money, so like you have to at least have that prepared on the off chance that they're like, yeah, we'll
I'll take it.
But I think they can kind of read the room and they know that early
on. It's going
on,
north of 700.
Well, it's going way north of six. Mm-hmm. So like if you come in at six. Big time offer.
Hector Gomez is the only one who said this specific number, but Hector Gomez said 625. Right? Others now, Randy Miller and Rosendahl both called it over 600.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're Breslow and you put that offer out there, I get it. It's a big offer. That's a staggering number, but you know you're going against the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and even the Blue Jays.
Like, yeah.
You're not going to have the most.
Here's
money.
A text, 37937. I already think the worst ownership in the city right now is the Patriots ownership. I already think that, okay? But it's neck and neck. It's Henry or Kraft, okay?
The Celtics are selling the team.
Well, good point. I guess we don't really, I guess TBD on them.
TBD on the season.
Don't you have to put whoever the Celtics owners are by default at number one?
Right
though?
Now, yes, they are, yeah.
And then
Jacobs
by default has to be two.
By default. I mean, similar to the Covington Mayo.
It's like talking
Wolf
about
thing.
The Patriots hot seat. It's exactly like that. Yeah. But, okay, Jacobs by default is two. Number one, I think by default, is whoever is going to own the Celtics. So it's neck and neck, Henry or Kraft, worst owners in the city. 37937. Is this the worst ownership move ever? Isn't the guarantee... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was about the Red Sox. Isn't this the worst ownership move ever? It's a guarantee of the future coach being enough. That's about the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I thought what they were saying was if you land Juan Soto, don't you all of a sudden have to give Henry the nod over Kraft in this city?
Yes.
If
because if they land
Juan Soto, don't you have to say the worst owner is not even close Robert Kraft?
No, the two have actually kind of paralleled each other quite a bit.
100%.
Like, there's so much success, right? If you take a step back, there's so much success. But then there's been recent down years. There were times where they spent a lot, and then there have been times more recently where they haven't spent.
Mm-hmm.
So they mirror each other quite a bit. But this offseason for the Red Sox versus the upcoming offseason for the Patriots could break the tie easily. If you end up with Juan Soto and like a true number one pitcher, then they get the leg up. If they don't and they bring in Aroldis Chapman and a couple other dudes, and then the Patriots go out there and get a number one receiver and like change their offensive line, you're going to be like, now they're better.
Okay, well, if that happens, then you're right.
Well, they're both huge ifs at this point.
Yep.
I don't feel confident in either one. I'm not putting money down that either team makes a major change.
I'm more confident the team that makes a big ad is the Red Sox. They do it. They do it routinely. Now, it's been a while since they've done it, but they do it.
And maybe now they just feel like they've been backed into a corner where they
exactly.
are forced to again.
That's the logic. And the other thing I do give Henry over Kraft when I really sit down and think about it, they're both awful. I don't like either owner. But the one thing I give Henry is that he has found multiple ways to win. Different managers, different GMs, different crop of players.
Oh, that is night and day different.
I mean, the Krafts only won with Brady and Bill, but Brady.
Yep.
That's it. That's all they ever did. As owners, they got another Super Bowl appearance with Parcells, if you want to give them that.
Yep.
They inherited Parcells, but they did do that.
True.
But that's all they ever did. So if I'm breaking ties between two crummy owners, I break the tie in favor of Henry for that reason. But they're both crummy owners. If they go out and sign Soto, I don't even understand how you argue that Kraft isn't the worst owner in the city.
It is crazy. I mean, managers are less important than head coaches, but to win with three different managers, to win a World Series with three different managers.
Three different GMs.
Is pretty impressive. Three different GMs.
They won post-Ortiz.
And a handful of kind of star players and like faces of the franchise. Now, they've also bottomed out, right? They've had more last-place finishes. And the Red Sox, I mean, the Patriots are staring down the barrel of another last-place finish.
Give the Patriots.
Pats are trying to catch up.
Give the Patriots time. They might catch them. They really might. Let's go to the phone. Steve is in Agawam. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great.
So my thought on Soto is, honestly, I don't think the Red Sox are going to sign him. And quite honestly, I hope they don't. Because I honestly feel, why don't you just spend all that money they're going to spend on Soto on pitching? Even if you get Soto, it's not a guarantee that the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs. You know, they have a lot of position players, a lot of good prospects in the farm system. I honestly feel like they should focus more on pitching.
Okay. Well, Steve, you can do this. Rosendahl also made the point, by the way, that it's less likely they go out and sign again, living in a fantasy world, Soto and Burns, Soto and Fried, it's more likely they trade their prospects for someone like Garrett Crochet. Now, he disagreed with that. He said he thought that would be a bad move. Why not hold on to your prospects and just spend the money? But he said that's the word in the industry, is it's more likely they would then swing a trade in addition to the Soto signing for pitching help. Fine. He brought up the odds of making the playoffs. I did catch this today at ESPN. I thought it was interesting because it attempts to quantify who would get the biggest bump from signing Juan Soto out of all the teams in the mix.
Oh, okay.
ESPN said it is the Red Sox. Out of all the teams that could sign him, they would get the biggest bump.
Yeah, I agree. The Dodgers just won the World Series. The Yankees are just in the World Series. So it really comes down to the Mets and the
Red Sox. And you're subtracting them off the Yankees. So
yeah, right.
They write, while we refer to 5 wins as a good baseline expectation for Soto's impact on a team's record, just blanket, that's what he would impact.
Okay.
The number landed at 6.5 for the Red Sox, pushing the Red Sox from a below 500 team to around an 83-win expectation. The improvement moves Boston from the fringe of playoff contention to about a 40% chance of making the playoffs.
It is amazing.
Baseball and war, man.
Dude, yeah, it's amazing. $600 million for 5 wins. It is, I mean.
Well, 6.5 in the Red Sox case. I don't quite understand how they calculated that, but that's what he wrote.
No, I mean, that is. I mean, it's how it goes. But you just, if you think about the lineup and what the lineup could look like.
But my point to the caller would be, yeah, pitching would help you make the playoffs as well. This move almost singularly, I mean, increases your playoff chances. I don't want to say exponentially, but by a ton, where you go from probably not a playoff team to a likely playoff team on signing him alone.
Oh, yeah. And I with baseball, you don't need to win 95, 100 games.
No.
You win 88 games, get into the wild card,
go on a run.
It happens all the time. Totally. So, yeah, I think they're really, as frustrating as last season was and previous seasons have been, they haven't been that far out of it. Every trade deadline we've talked about, you got to pick a path. They're right there. Like, you're a couple games out. And that was, you know, without a guy like Juan Soto.
No. They had, who were the bum-ass relievers they had last year?
Oh, my God.
Who were those guys?
Just one after the next.
Lucas Sims.
Oh, yeah. They added Lucas Sims.
And Garcia?
Yeah.
That guy was terrible.
It was not a great deadline. Although Danny Jansen played in the same game for two different teams.
I was at both.
Yeah, you're at the Danny Jansen
I was
game.
At both. I was at the one that got rained out. And
that's
then I was
pretty
at,
amazing.
I was at the next, I believe the next game, Keith, might have been after our first show. One of our very first shows.
That's true.
Went over to Fenway and took that in. It was baseball history.
Danny Jansen. They
never seen it before.
No.
I mean, some people in this
room.
He's
in the Hall of Fame now.
Some people in this room never saw it. Still, I was there in the flesh. I witnessed baseball history.
That's amazing.
Never know what you're going to get when you show up to the ballpark. Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to throw that in your face.
Breslow also brought back James Paxton, who was always hurt and then got hurt again. So there's that.
No, I love that guy.
That was a good ad.
I'm surprised that didn't work out.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. The Red Sox are, hang on, let me get the wording again.
What do you have?
Because I know you scoffed at it. The Red Sox are viewed as a surprising force.
Surprising force? That's my nickname in high school.
In the negotiations for Juan Soto. What do you make of it? Is their $600 million offer a fake offer? That's what Keith thinks.
Yep.
What's the likelihood they land him? It updates every single day. We'll get more into that. And it's a Wednesday, which means it's a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keith.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Celtics officially eliminated from the NBA Cup. Very unfortunate.
Sad day for Jones.
Sad
Loves
day for
the cup.
Sad day for the NBA.
Cup.
Sad day for the Celtics, quite frankly.
That's a good point.
So we'll get to that with Turk coming up in his weekly appearance here on a Celtics Wednesday on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That comes your way about 15 minutes from now. I was alerted by the new text line, 617-779-7937.
That's it.
Same as the phone number.
Sure.
I was alerted that I gave out the old one, I guess, a couple of times.
Oh, my God. That's not going to work. Where's that go? Who gets that?
That's a great question. Where does that go?
Some poor guy's phone just getting lit up with EI.
Just good takes over and over and over.
Your take sucks.
Yeah. Just over and over and over.
Bohemian Rhapsody is good. Like, that's not. Get out of here.
My first, it was like a full week. when I did my first show with Mego and Arcan.
Yeah.
I gave out the old number from the old station.
Oh, of course.
Literally a week straight.
Yeah, don't blame you.
Literally for a week straight, my stupid brain.
Yeah.
It could not stop saying the old number. Well, it took at least a week of me screwing that up over and over and over again to get that right.
Well, at one point,
I think it's actually fantastic. I made it this far into the show without giving up.
You'd have
the wrong
to write that down.
Yeah.
There's a brief time where I worked at two stations at the same time, and it was like, yeah, you'd have to write it down in front of you because you would just instinctively.
My brain can barely remember one phone number. You think I can remember two?
No. Hell no.
And then once it's been drilled in there for 10 years,
forget about it.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Would You Rather Wednesday.
It sure is.
On Jones and Keefe. You can text along with all the Would You Rathers if you'd like. Again, the correct number to do that is 617.
You can play this game at home or in the car.
Yeah,
it's very car friendly, this game.
It is quite car friendly. It's a good way to pass the time. Billy, what do we have for Would You Rathers today?
All right, for the next 5 years, would you rather be the Bills or the Lions?
So these teams look like they're on a collision course for the Super Bowl. Both could win the Super Bowl for the first time in their respective franchise careers. I'm going to say the Bills. And a lot of times when we answer these questions, it hinges on the quarterback. So Josh Allen, significantly better than Jared Goff. The overall roster, as of right now, is stronger in Detroit.
100%.
However, if you're taking this year and beyond, I'm fascinated to see how Dan Campbell does without Ben Johnson.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
The guy's hilarious. The guy's great. Like I've bought it. I went from like what a joke to like this guy's great. But he also has an awesome offensive coordinator and a really strong defensive coordinator by all accounts. I think he's going to lose both of those guys.
So good point. So how does he do without Ben Johnson?
Right.
What do they look like without Ben Johnson?
Like Belichick was good after Charlie and Romeo left.
Yeah, never mind attrition on their roster, which will happen.
Yeah, that's also going to happen. You can't pay everybody kind of thing. And so
like the Bills have already experienced that. The Bills have already experienced attrition and coordinator changes.
They lost Daboll. They lost Steph Diggs.
They might be better.
Right. So I'll take Josh Allen. I'll take the Bills. I think the Bills have a brighter future than the Lions. I think both are bright, but I think the Bills are better than the Lions long term.
It's too simplistic to say Allen greater than Jared Goff, but that really is most of it for me. You make a great point, though. How are they going to look without Ben Johnson calling plays and cooking up what he's cooked up? The other thing about Dan Campbell is it feels like that could all fall apart real quick with him.
How long does that last?
Right. That's a guy who can run real hot, and it's working right now, and great. But when it starts to go bad, how will he ever get that back? So I think that's a fair thing to point out. I mean, it's gone bad for Sean McDermott. I mean, for God's sakes, he was cheering on the people on the flight on 9/11.
He was.
And he survived
odd
his job.
Take.
So when it
and
when
you
it,
lose that way, it's tough.
When it goes poorly for Dan Campbell, how's that going to work?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would rather be Buffalo. I think that Detroit roster, beyond the coordinators, is ripe to get picked apart this offseason. I don't know how many free agents they're dealing with, but in the next couple of years, that is ripe to get picked apart.
Somebody will overpay Jameson Williams and then be disappointed.
Yeah, and the Bills,
can you keep Sonic and Knuckles together?
The Bills roster is not as good. Right, and do they want to keep doing that? The Bills roster is not as good as Detroit's, but the Bills have a very complete roster.
Yeah.
I would go Buffalo as well.
Yeah.
All right, would you rather your team win the NBA Cup or
$5? $5.
Come on.
$5. You can get like a big old iced coffee and some. You can even tip if you wanted to.
Uh-huh.
$5 is great. You can do a lot with $5.
I would rather the Celtics win.
A coffee and a donut.
Rather the Celtics win the NBA Cup.
There's donuts in the conference room?
Yeah, I rated that.
There's still some?
No.
I already scarfed one.
I was just in the conference room.
It's gone?
In the conference room.
Yeah, conference room.
Not in the break room.
No, conference room. There's donuts.
There weren't in the break.
Scarf one down already.
Guess I'll be going to the conference room next break.
I also treated myself to a donut on the way in. I am at two donuts.
Me too. I think I'm at three today.
I am at two donuts.
It's the first I've heard of these donuts, so I'll be making my way down there. But
NBA Cup means nothing to me. $5 means quite a bit.
Okay, a cup of coffee.
Half a ham?
Cup of coffee, Keith? Yeah. Fleeting. The moment passes like that. You pee it out.
That first sip?
Well,
that's good.
NBA Cup banner lives forever, Keith.
Sadly, it does.
The
lives
half
forever.
A ham could be a PS5, though.
Be honest. Did you watch any of it?
True. What if I take the half a ham and I win the Bozo parlay?
Now we're talking about something different. You've now turned the $5 into something greater. Now we're talking about something different. It is a chance.
What am I going to do with the NBA Cup? I can't bet the NBA Cup on the Bozo parlay.
What are you going to do when you win your $5?
No.
What if you bet the $5 on the NBA Cup and your team wins?
I hadn't thought about that.
Now we're cooking.
Yep.
So, be honest. Did you watch any of the Knicks game last night?
No.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Well, good. At least you're consistent.
Yeah.
You care about it.
Yeah,
I don't care about it.
Like, I saw the Knicks rub huge. I'm like, here we go.
Here's the difference.
Turp was tweeting out gifts left and right last night. He's like,
covers the team, for God's sake.
But I'm saying, but that's what reeled me in. I'm like, I better check this game out.
Turp reeled you in?
Yeah, a little
Terp
bit.
Got you?
I mean,
a little fishing?
Terp's tweets. I'll be honest.
He was Bill Belichick? You were the mermaid?
Unaware of what was going on. Yeah. I was Jordan.
You were Jordan.
He was Bill.
No,
I guess age-wise, we'd have to reverse those roles, but whatever, play it out.
I'll still watch all of the Celtics games because I love the Celtics, and when you talk about the Celtics,
Look, the Celtics...
I don't need to watch Knicks mad... Like, I'll watch... You know me. I'll watch out-of-market NBA game like, if it's a good game.
Apparently not.
Not that one.
Yeah.
Not that
apparently
one.
Apparently you won't.
But like a TNT doubleheader or whatever, like I'll give that a rip. I'm just saying I'm not interested in that. I'm not like, oh my God, what's the point differential in Knicks and Magic?
You were missing out on a good time.
So my team can maybe play extra games. No thanks.
Okay, what?
Give me the layoff.
It would be extra game.
Let these
singular.
Guys rest.
It would be one extra game if they made it all the way to
it's
the final.
Two?
No, it's one. I believe.
All right. Well, one extra game is one extra game too many.
Yeah.
That's why the word extra is in there.
One extra. We're worried about one extra game in December.
I know why.
About all the wear and tear on the Celtics.
They're already not playing there, guys. Holiday, Horford are old. Yeah. Porzingis is coming off a hell of an injury. Sit him down, rest.
Here's what I would want. And I don't think they need. Last year, I thought mistakenly they needed to test themselves in December. They needed a measuring stick. I wanted them to play well in the NBA Cup.
That blew up in
your
face.
Which is formally called the in-season tournament.
Right.
I still want them in it from a viewer standpoint. I would rather have stakes to a game than no stakes. Otherwise, it's just a meaningless regular season NBA game.
Not meaningless. They're chasing history.
It's more meaningful in a tournament than just a regular standalone game. Here's what I don't get.
So you're ripping your hair out last night with the Knicks game?
I was bothered by it.
I
wasn't ripping my hair out. My hair is still there. But I was
luscious
bothered by it.
Mane.
I would rather have the Celtics playing for... stakes in even a meaningless tournament, Keith, to you?
Yeah.
I think there's some meaning to it. I would hold some significance to it. I'd like to see how they measure up against a team like Denver if you got them in this tournament, for instance. But I would rather have them in those games. If you're watching either way, I don't understand the downside, and there is potential upside.
The downside is the extra game. The upside
if they
is
even
a little
get
more
there
layup.
To get, but that,
well, right.
that had nothing to do with last night.
No,
they would be one of the eight teams. You'd have to win two games to get to the point where you can play an extra game.
Don't need it. And I think, in the spirit of the question, I would rather have the $5.
I forgot that's what we were talking about. But
you want your team to win the NBA Cup, and you would brag about that. You would say to your friends that are fans of other teams,
in your
say,
face,
look who won the in season tournament.
In your face, Knicks fans.
Yeah,
that's going to last a lot longer. That bragging, that banner is going to last a lot longer than your cup of coffee.
I respect you defending the NBA Cup because nobody else will.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think anybody likes it.
There's cupheads out there.
There are dozens of us.
A lot of cupheads.
Like, for real?
Oh, yeah.
Have you met any of these people, Nick or Billy? Like, they don't exist.
Just Jones.
Just me.
Seriously.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
I don't get not wanting to watch it. I don't understand that.
The NBA Cup? Well, no. I'm not, not watching
the
Celtics
The games in Vegas, I don't get not wanting your team there. I don't understand that.
Because it means nothing.
It means something.
Well, not really, because we're so ingrained as American sports fans to want the Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup, and NBA championship. Uh-huh. Nothing else matters. So when you're telling us that no, this matters, it doesn't. It doesn't matter to the players, and I don't think it matters.
I disagree.
To most
I think it matters to some players.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Sam Hauser shaking his head after he hit that three because he didn't want to do it?
Who did? Who?
Sam Hauser a couple nights ago when he hit the three with 0.1 seconds left. He's like, I don't know why I had to do that.
Sorry. I think the guys that don't make a ton of money obviously want the money.
Yeah,
but
those
I don't think they really like care.
Those guys.
Day.
Well, I think the Knicks were going for the point differential for a while last night. So I think Knicks players cared last night. I think they were going.
Like I said, I think if you're getting $500,000, like they had to incentivize it. Like it's not like, ooh, the NBA Cup, we want that. They're like, no, we want $500,000.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay. What else we got?
Would you rather the Patriots use their first-round pick on a wide receiver or an offensive lineman?
We've answered this a bunch. I will stay consistent. I have not changed my mind on this. I don't love the offensive lineman. I don't know that Will Campbell, who people love from LSU, is even a tackle. So now we're drafting a guard in the top five. I don't want that. Thank you very much. I want the wide receiver. I think Drake May needs it more. You've said it best, Keith, and maybe you were about to say it. I'd rather have the average offensive line, which you can do without drafting in the top five, and elite wide receivers greater than an elite offensive line and average wide receivers.
So I agree with that, but I flip the answer because I don't trust them drafting receivers. So Elliott Wolf has only had 1 year where he is fully in charge of drafting receivers.
Do you trust them drafting offensive linemen?
I think they have a better chance at it. I think they have a better shot. It's not great.
Layden Robinson got benched.
Yeah, but it wasn't a first
Caden
round
Wallace
pick.
Caden Wallace is not a. He was a bad call.
But those aren't top two round guys. Jalen Polk was the second round. Okay, Tyquan Thorne was the second round.
Okay, but it's 3 and 4.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think you have a better chance in the first round. So okay. That's what I would say. I think this.
Do we give him. We don't give him. Why are you blaming him for Thornton but not Cole Strange?
So Cole Strange.
That was the same draft.
Cole Strange feels like a real Bill Belichick.
It does,
pick.
But, if, Tyquan but Thor- if we're blaming him for that draft.
No. So I would look at it. They kept Tyquan Thornton this year longer than they should have. And you even brought this up. Maybe Elliott Wolf kind of liked him.
Yeah.
You want to get fast, you got to draft fast players.
I think Wolf deserves blame for Thornton. I would blame him equally for those picks.
So Cole Strange, to me, just is ripe with Bill Belichick.
I'm smarter than you.
Oh, you guys did all this work? Yeah. I'm taking the guy out of Chattanooga. Yeah. Oh, you guys did all this work? I'm taking Tavon Wilson, or I'm taking... Even Kyle Duggar, which is more mixed.
Why does Thornton not? You guys did all this work. I'm taking Tyquan Thornton.
No, he could have.
Over George Pickens or whatever.
But then wouldn't he have just cut him right away?
Well,
I feel like by keeping him on the roster, he's kind of going with it. But Jalen Polk, you can't blame Belichick for. Javon Baker, you can't blame Bill Belichick for.
Look, there's no question they suck at drafting receivers. I just don't get why you think they're going to be good at drafting linemen.
I just feel like top linemen, maybe you just have like a better chance of hitting, where I feel like whatever receiver they take might end up being the bust. And so also... I would rather them get the established wide receiver is my other point. Like, I don't need a guy hitting his first year where, like, all right, Drake May is going to get unlocked with this guy. Find the next disgruntled wide receiver who you already know is good, trade for him, or sign T. Higgins or whatever.
That.
I would rather that. You'd like, rather, I know who it is.
Rather have an established receiver. Well, yeah. I would agree with that. I would rather have an established receiver.
That's it.
Than a rookie receiver, but you can bring in both.
Yeah.
What else, Billy?
Final question, would you rather Secret Santa or Yankee Swap?
I think Yankee Swap's the way to go. So Secret Santa, basically, you're
right about that.
Yeah, everybody gets somebody, and then you end up buying them a gift, or sometimes like a series of gifts, depending on how it goes, and you got to be very specific to the one person. You might not get a person you either know really well,
right.
Or like a person that's hard to shop for.
Right.
Where if it's like, hey, we're doing Yankee Swap, you know, five hams, that's the... Worst case scenario, which might also be the best case scenario, you take your own gift. I'm not above that. I've done that before, where you're going around the room and you're like, I don't like any of this stuff. My gift's still in there. I'm taking it.
Hey, who's
so
threw
buy
that,
yourself
who
something that you might want.
That bottle of booze. I guess I'll take that one.
Oh, my God. $50 worth of tequila? Like, I guess this is me. Yeah. Like, yeah. So you have an easy out with
Secret
with
Santa's
Yankee Swap.
The worst.
Secret Santa's tough.
Because it doesn't stay secret. All of a sudden, somebody knows who's getting what. Secret Santa is the worst.
So
I don't love a Yankee Swap. I don't really love either, to be honest.
The fun about Secret Santa is figuring out who has who.
I don't.
It's a murder mystery.
It's a little bit.
It's a little murder mystery.
I don't like it.
You like it?
I don't like any of it.
So Jessica in the Twitch chat says Secret Santa 100%. She says Yankee Swap is a dumb gag gift that everyone throws away.
Well, there
it
is.
Depends on how you do it.
There is an element of that in Secret Santa, in a Yankee Swap. Yeah.
I've been in enough Yankee Swaps where, like, yeah, there'll be the occasional, like, dumb gift. But for the most part, people are like, all right, $50, like, I'm going to get you something decent enough.
Bottom line, I would rather, I'm more in the let's not give anything to anybody thing. That's more what I'm
Oh, that's a Scrooge.
Yeah,
that's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, no, but, like, adults, like, co-workers, it's just like, we're good.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that.
I respect you as a person.
Whereas, like, yeah, we're not swapping everything. Yeah. Like, children buy them stuff for Christmas.
Kids,
that's fine.
Yep.
Like, of course you're going to get something from Santa.
It's for the kids.
But, you know, if we can all just look at each other and say, we're good.
Firm handshakes?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing as a show this year? Just firm handshakes?
You brought up the Larry David thing where it's like, our votes are offsetting each other. Let's just do that.
Cancel each other out.
Yeah, I'm more of that than Yankee Swap, Secret Santa, any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can get the dumb gag gift. And that's,
we are going to do
worthless.
Secret Santa on the show, though, just so as a heads up. We're all going to pull names later. So just be prepared to buy me something.
Be ready
nice.
For that.
Yeah. We'll
what
do
you,
it on
what
December
do you even,
23rd.
What do you even get, Terp?
Terp?
Yeah, what do you even get? What do you get
a man who has everything?
What do you get a child like that? What do you even get him?
Protection.
Condoms.
I was going to say Playmobil. We're going there.
Just 1,000 Magnum condoms. That's what I get, Terp.
Constantly on cruises, constantly on vacation.
It's true. Guy was in D.C. a few weeks ago. Who knows what was going on there?
Just see him in a suit. Whew.
Oh, yeah. All business,
hair's
Terp.
Hair's combed, suit on. Forget
all
it.
Business, Terp.
Standing
that's true.
On the White House.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lane violation, and I got away with it.
And a gift card to Urgent Care.
All right, well, speaking of Terp.
Yeah, Terp's coming in.
We'll do our Celtics Minute with Terp, among other things. That's next.
Miami will just dribble it out. Tonight at the Garden, it's all about the culture. Not heat culture. The championship culture. The Boston Celtics run him out of the gym, 108-89.
That was Drew Carter yesterday on, I'm sorry, 2 days ago.
Championship culture.
And the Miami Heat. Championship culture.
That's what they got.
Not heat culture.
No, no, no.
It is not NBA Cup championship culture, I can tell you that.
No, 0-2.
Celtics.
They're not, they've never been NBA Cup champs.
They at least made the dance last year, Keith.
They played in it.
Yeah, yep. they were in the dance last year. We have Justin Turpin of WEEI.com here on Jones and Keith on a Celtics Wednesday. What's up, Turp?
What's up, guys? I'm ready for the Secret Santa.
You are?
I'm ready.
So pull some names? You heard about the Magnum condoms, is that why?
I heard about those.
Yeah, here we go.
Fill them up with water. Thank you.
That's what it is.
That sounds fun.
So are you bothered in any way, shape, or form they're not in the NBA Cup?
No.
Why?
I mean...
Because he's a normal human being, Joe.
But isn't it better for you covering the team to be like, they're in this NBA Cup? Isn't that better for you?
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of interest around it, to be honest. I really don't think there is.
I disagree. They were talking about it on Greg's show this morning.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So it must be super popular. They're also talking about
who
stole the cookies from the studio.
Okay, but you know what? You know what you'd have no chance of talking about?
What?
The Celtics and Heat came from the other night. We talked for 5 seconds about Peyton Pritchard, and then we move on. Like, there's more discussion around these games
in
December than there ever has been because of the NBA Cup.
No, but I feel like the discussion isn't like, oh, it's the draft.
You if the Celtics were in it. Yes.
No, but the discussion always seems to start and end with, do you like the cup?
Yeah.
It's not, oh, I can't wait to see this game or this path or how do they win the cup? It's more... the discussion of it.
Yeah.
And 80% of people hate it.
Then they got in it last year and they played the game against the Pacers and it was a fun game.
And I remember where I was because it was one of the great moments of my life.
Okay, but when do you ever remember any regular season December basketball games? You don't.
Buzzer beater.
You have a better chance. Okay, that's because of how it ended.
Yeah.
The stakes going into it, conversation around it, you never talk about December basketball games. This changes that. It's a good move for the league.
With this team, it's a little bit different. Yeah, 100% for the league. And viewership was up last year. Because of the tournament.
Thank you.
And
it's because of the courts.
Some Celtics fans, not you, Keith.
No, not
some
me.
Some Celtics fans tuned in for the stupid Knicks last night because they were interested in whether or not they would get the Celtics into the NBA Cup. Some.
Turp and you.
Okay.
Turp covers the team. Well, I cross him off.
That's two more than one of.
All right. So the NBA is doing a victory lap for that.
Yeah.
All right.
The ratings are up. I don't get what you're arguing with. The ratings are up.
They are. And my thing, though, it's because the NBA is a good product. Longer.
No, it's not.
It just needs to be a bit
longer.
The
NBA might be the worst product it's ever been with all the threes they launched.
All right. So here's my thought on the NBA.
Oh, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. If you're going to do the NBA Cup, I feel like. Do you need all the ridiculous tiebreakers and all those things? Why can't you just do your standard group play?
Mm-hmm.
And then because you've already played enough games and because the group play games count for the regular season.
So tiebreakers, regular season record or something
yes,
like that?
Yes. Okay. Therefore, for you, you get the better teams automatically have a better chance of making it there, which is what also what
so
people
maybe,
want to see.
Maybe this is what Wiggy was saying this morning. I honestly didn't understand. He's
sometimes
like,
it's tough.
Well, you go by the record. And I'm like, yeah, they were tied, so you need a tiebreaker. The regular season
instead
record
of
is
points
what he was saying.
Because the players okay. don't love that part.
Fine. Yeah. I could be coaxed into that.
They should probably tweak it.
I like the idea of the tournament. If you want to change the tiebreaker, fine. I have no problem with the point differential. But if you want to do that, fine. Do you like that proposal? Would you be better with that?
I just think it should be longer because I like the point differential.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
and harder.
Yeah. Right after we talk about the Secret Santa. I just think it should be longer because
okay,
when you only have four games, there's just so much room for error. Like a team like the Hawks, they win one game against the Celtics
so you want
and they win the group.
If not enough. You want more NBA Cup. I agree with this.
Now we're talking about it.
Good.
Nobody wants more of the
eight
NBA
games.
Cup.
Six games. Yeah, more NBA Cup term.
The whole regular season should be in season tournament.
In your face.
No, I guess I'm outnumbered here.
More NBA Cup games. I
People
agree.
Are clamoring for
Hadn't
it.
Hadn't even thought of that, Turp. Well, great point.
And if you make it longer, you won't have the...
Jesus, Turp.
You still have these point differential scenarios and all that, but they won't be as extreme.
Yeah.
I guess,
the idea, the old saying with the NBA is the season doesn't start until Christmas Day. So you're trying to put emphasis on the games before Christmas Day. Is it perfect? No. No one's saying it's perfect. But most people didn't care about these games already. You're trying to create a way to care about the games. I don't get how that's possibly a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's the audience, though? For example, like, what's the target audience for the NBA Cup? So most people listening to us are going to watch every Celtics game regardless.
Yeah.
So whether there's a painted court or not, I'm going to watch it.
The idea is to get you to watch probably more of the neutral, even when your team's not involved.
Got
great
it.
If your team is involved. but it'll get you to tune in because it's LeBron and Jokic for the NBA Cup championship.
Would anybody
like that
watching a 30-point game between the Knicks and the Magic in November under normal circumstances? And would the starters even still
so
be
I
in
guess
on that?
That's what it would be. So you have a handful of games where you're like, even if it's a blowout, maybe you have a few more people watching.
I keep going back to it, too. Is last year when the Celtics were playing the Bulls and they were doing the hack of drum and all that, the Garden scoreboard kept showing
that was awesome.
That was one of my favorite games to cover last year.
Like, again, that was just a stupid regular season game against who? The Pistons? The Bulls?
That was
who
was Bulls.
Drumming? Like, but on the stupid game, but there was intrigue and interest around it specifically because of the Cup.
They were showing updates on the Toronto and Brooklyn.
Okay, but that is what it was. That's why people cared.
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan of it.
I was soul crushed when they didn't advance.
Big
in the
favorites
NBA Cup.
Too. Big.
They should have won both. They should have won. So far, the team that has won the in-season tournament has never won the NBA.
The
Finals.
Championships true. That true. The NBA Ever. Cup championships that got away,
and it'll happen again this year.
Yeah,
because the Celtics will win the real cup, and then whoever the hell will win the fake one.
That's part of it too. Is we're talking about a team that won 64 games last year and won the NBA Finals. They have bigger goals that they're focusing on. We're a team like Atlanta who goes 3-1.
All right, but those goals do
one.
Those goals do align.
They
winning
do.
All your games align.
Right, but if you're getting in, you only lost one game to Atlanta in a game. It's not like they purposely try to lose a game because they didn't care. It just happened that they didn't get in, and now you're playing 6 games in 9 nights right now. You're going to get 2 in 11 days. Because you missed out, and you're getting them against the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards. So it's kind of a fair trade-off, especially to have that rest during the season. Like, you kind of would prefer that
almost.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I'd rather they played good games than waste my time. That's what I would rather as a fan.
Well, no, but now they're just kind of going to be off. They're going to have a nice stretch here.
Oh, great, an extra game against the Wizards? Why do I want that as a fan? I don't.
Well, if you're talking about trying to win as many games.
70
like
games?
You're playing the Washington Wizards. 67
is the team record, right?
67.
So 68
right.
would be the new team
but record. I'd rather watch them play an extra game against the Knicks, who I imagine they'll beat too. I'd rather watch that as a fan.
Maybe New York didn't go for the point differential last night, because had they gone for it, New York would have played Boston.
But don't you think they were? I was watching. I thought they kind of were.
In the fourth quarter, they kind of let the rope go a little bit.
Yeah, okay, so maybe earlier in the game it felt like they were.
If they had won, they would have hosted the Celtics, because the Celtics would have been that wild card team. And then they're looking at it as like, would you rather play Orlando or would you rather play Boston? They already were going to win the game regardless, so they were going to get the win for the regular season standings. It's just a matter of who they were going to host for the play-in or the in-season tournament.
Rather. I feel like we're a couple years away from the winner of the in-season tournament playing Real Madrid. Or like something like that,
yeah,
and they're gonna like turn it into like a real international
the team
thing.
In Greece that
thinks they're the world champs.
Yeah,
or
we're the world. Yeah, they're only the NBA champs. We're the world.
That's
champs.
Where we're headed.
Yeah,
because they do this in soccer, right? I feel like there's always a random tournament going on within their season, and they're like, well, no, this is now for like the Open Cup, or like this is for this. Like this game doesn't count for this. Where the NBA is trying to do both, they're trying to be like, all right, this is a regular season game, and then it's also.
Would you care
else.
If they made a? This is a good point. I forgot this was a discussion last year, and I guess I just kind of got used to what they did. Should the winner of the NBA Cup get guaranteed a playoff spot, like something like that?
No, because I think what would happen then is that team would be way more likely. So say the Lakers won it.
Yeah.
LeBron would play 4 more games the rest of the year, or Anthony Davis would play 4. You know what I mean?
True.
I think there's too much season left,
but
and then
some
you'd get,
sort.
Because my biggest issue with the NBA is more. All right. Oh, what a great matchup! It's Nuggets versus Thunder. Who's playing? Like you have to always ask, like who's playing or
yeah,
who's
like
out?
Celtics and Heat the other night. Maybe on paper looked okay, but then nobody's playing.
So like that's a bigger concern. So I think if you gave a team, you know, whatever the cup
more
is over.
More incentive to rest players.
Yeah.
That's true. That's fair.
That'd be my only thought.
Any questions about the actual team and not the cup?
Peyton Pritchard looks like the far and away front runner for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
I guess my question with him is, and it seems like he's a little bit better defensively. I wonder, though, like, will good teams still kind of exploit him on that end? Or has he done enough where, like, he's not going to be, like, an obvious weakness?
I don't think he's an obvious weakness. I really don't think they have an obvious weakness on defense, just because they all take a lot of pride in their individual defense. And that starts with Mazzulla. He does a really good job of keeping them focused on that end. But it also helps that he has guys like Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis behind him, where they can kind of come in and help clean up any mess that might happen from Peyton. But I think he's a solid defender. He's not great, but he's a good enough
defender.
It's more
of a size thing.
Right,
it's not like an effort or anything. It's just like, all right, some guys, certain matchups are going to be really tough
for him.
Teams
are going to try to pick on him, but they just have so many other defenders that can help out. So they're just so well-rounded, it's tough to pick on one individual.